praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Well, praise God. We thank the Lord for this Sunday morning and for the songs of praise that have gone up today. God is truly worthy of all the praise and the glory, and it's so good to be in the church building this morning. And we have those of you who are on Facebook or on the prayer line with us today. Is truly a blessing from the Lord. Let me prepare to read and pray, and we'll get right into the message today. Looking forward to just sharing what God has placed on our heart. I know that God will just continue to show himself mighty in all of our lives as we continue to place our trust and our faith in him. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, you know this pretty much by heart, and that's all I'm going to read as we begin the message today. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for blessing us, the Heavenly Father, to be here in the sanctuary today to share this word, oh God, with those who are viewing and those who are listening, the Heavenly Father. I pray that you would use my mind and my mouth, oh God, to convey the message, oh Lord, that is on my heart, and I pray that it will touch the lives and hearts of others, that they, oh God, will glorify you in an even greater way. And that certainly, Lord, they will continue to look heavenward, because we need you, Lord. We need you now. Bless today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about keep on praying. Keep on praying. With all of the racial tension and unrest and chaos that we are experiencing in our nation right now, having races at the highest level of government, races in law enforcement, this is not the time to abandon our faith. It's not the time to lay down our religion, if you will. I'm not saying don't get mad or don't be angry. I'm not saying don't protest. I just don't like it when people are mistreated. And it doesn't matter what color they are, whether they're young or old or black or white. Whatever ethnicity a person may be, I don't like seeing them mistreated. And when a person is literally murdered on the streets of America with the world watching and people pleading for that individual's life, people need to take note. Amen. And we need to condemn those in authority who are desirous that we look the other way. And I just want to say today, the devil is a lie. I'm not going to look the other way. I'm not going to play like it didn't happen. See, because I grew up in the 60s. And when I grew up in the 60s, I lived through those riots. And things that are happening now happened back then, and they shouldn't be happening today in this day and time. Case in point, one night, five teenagers riding in a car on Troost, just playing around. Sister Mobley jumps out of the car. It used to be a Clark filling station that sat right on the corner, northeast corner of 75th and Troop. I ran, grabbed her, drug her back to the car, and we just took off. Everybody laughed. By the time we got down to Bannister, and turned around coming back. We topped the hill at 77. There were police cars all the way across troops, lights shining south towards us. And immediately we stopped, and police cars came in behind us. Shotguns, handguns, everything drawn, ready to deal with us, because some white gentleman called the police and told them we snatched a white girl and pulled her into our car. Now, you know it's a miracle that we're still alive. And when he realized that she was black, and we were just having some fun, just kids doing what kids do, he had the nerve to tell us, well, we only did this because they said you snatched a white girl. Not a woman, not a girl, but a white girl. And so, you know, when you look at it, that's what was going on in the 60s. Then I've been stopped by the police just downtown at night when I was working at Armco Steel. I had to catch the bus because I'd wrecked my car. And Daddy wouldn't take me to work. He said, you tow up your car, you get there the best way you can. So I had to ride the bus from Sheridan Estates downtown, get the bus to ride out to Armco Steel. They called me down there one night, questioned me, asked me all kind of crazy stuff, wanted to see my Social Security card. Like my driver's license and my badge for work is the only reason they let me go. And they only stopped me because I was black. I've been racially profiled in the community in which I live right now. And when I put the window down handing my license, I said, oh, what's the problem? She said, you cut me off. I said, if I'm going to cut off somebody, it's sure not going to be the police. He took my license, went back to his car, came back, said, your lucky day. I said, thank you. We drove off, and he said, what was that all about? He said, black man, black car, tinted windows at night. So, yes, I'm mad. I don't make no bones about that. And in this day and time, police are still brutalizing and killing black people and white people who stand up against the demonic racial attack on our nation. I'm mad. And it's taken me some days of prayer and meditation and thinking so that I would not come and say something inflammatory, stupid, or hateful. I'm not going to be quiet and play like this stuff isn't happening. And that's why I've been posting a few little things on Facebook, and I'll be glad when we can get off. Not my platform. But I'm willing to stand for right. And it angers me when people are hurt and mistreated. And see, be clear now, anger is not a sin. The Bible tells us to be angry, but sin not. Now, I think as a people, we need to understand that better is not equality. Let me say it again. Better is not equality. We've been at the fair too long. We've been enjoying the blessings that have come our way because of the sacrifices of our forefathers. And we have forgotten the objective. The objective is equality. I was looking at a post on Facebook last night, and it was in an interview with some guy, I can't think of his name, but he was saying that I just don't see the point. And he was black. I don't see the point because there's not a list of demands. And I scratched my head and said, he must be blind and deaf. Everybody out there is crying justice, 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 justice for George and for everybody else who has been brutalized by law enforcement. Now, let me make it clear. When I say keep on praying, it's not an admonition to say or imply that we need to stop protesting and pushing for change in this country. Prayer has been an integral part of every movement from going all the way back to Israel exiting Egypt, headed for the promised land, laced all through scripture, all the way to Gethsemane and beyond. Amen. And certainly we need to continue to pray as people of God. So help me understand why born-again believers are talking about forsaking their trust in God and being drawn away by demonic circumstances, amen, circumstances that have to be addressed in the right way. Protesting is our right. Looting and destroying property is a crime. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We have to be wise in matters of this nature, or Satan will take advantage of us. If a white person, a black person, a person of any color or ethnic group who is a part of some extremist organization tries to do anything that jeopardizes the mission, we need to point them out, call them out, do whatever it takes to get them stopped. I'm tired of the mistreatment of our people and racial prejudice, amen, of all kinds. We need to return to what is called the golden rule. My parents taught me, you treat people like you want to be treated. And for the record, I'm gonna give you respect until, well, I'll leave it there. I think you know what goes with that. We need to keep on praying because we need wisdom. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 12, it says, finally, brother, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is a spiritual war that continues to manifest itself in the actions of human beings. We are under attack, and we need to be cognizant of who we're fighting against. We need to know who the real enemy is. Is it Satan or the spirit that controls his actions? Is it the KKK, the alt-right, the Congress, the Senate? Or is it the spirit that controls them? We are dealing with the wiles of the devil on a much higher level today than we have in times past. So how many of you have seen the movie Fallen? If you haven't seen it, just let me tell you just a little bit of it. Denzel Washington starred in the movie, and I believe he was a police officer. But there was a demon who went around, and every time he would enter into somebody and Denzel would see him, he would start singing, time is on my side. Every time he saw him, he was saying, time is on my side. And this one demon had the ability to transfer from one person to another, and he was creating all kind of havoc in that city. Now, I say that so you can understand the power of just one demon. Think of all the demonic forces Satan has in his arsenal. If one can create that much trouble, what do you think Satan can do in this day and time? So we need to be wise. We need to recognize who we are really fighting against. Those spirits possess people of all color. So we need to be wise and know the real enemy. We have to be wise because bad people will hijack good causes and turn them into something that will cancel the mission. We need to keep praying because we need to choose the right weapon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. This is really a play on words. And let's be clear. We walk in the flesh in a physical sense. What Paul is expressing here is our humanity. And we are men and women of flesh, but we do not walk according to the flesh. We walk according to the Spirit of God. And I just want to say guns are not the answer here. Amen. Guns are not the answer. Though I believe that every man ought to be prepared to take care of his family and protect his home. I'm not talking about AR-15s and all the weapons of war that some people have, but reasonable, amen, protection for every home is certainly a man's right. So we have to bring spiritual weapons to this war, weapons from God's arsenal. These weapons are suitable, amen, they are suited for the destruction of strongholds, weapons that are powerful through the power of Almighty God. We are all soldiers in this war against evil and darkness. Amen. And let me tell you something. If you are a Christian, there are no deferments. There are no exemptions. We all fight for the honor and glory of Almighty God, for truth, for righteousness, for equality and equity for all people. The weapons of our are strong for pulling down strongholds. Amen. And Satan has established some racist strongholds in government, in law enforcement, in institutions of higher learning. He has established some strongholds in local schools and just in our society in general. And we need to collectively, Christians and those who are willing to stand for righteousness, strengthen our energy, tearing down all of the strongholds that Satan has established that relate to racial inequality. Protest. Vote. Picket. But peaceful. Amen. Wake up. Some have gone to sleep. And it's time for us to wake up and get back to the work of equality for all people. We need to keep on praying because we need God's covenant. In the Psalm 91, verse 4, it says, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. We should have the utmost confidence of our as we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty. When we abide under God's shadow, we have abiding protection. It's just a baby bird who is in the nest, whose parent will cover the top of the nest when anything that might harm that baby bird, so you and I, under the covering of God's word, we find safety and security. And see, his truth is our shield and our buckler, because God's word is true. And there's no way of robbing or eroding at the power of God's word, because both heaven and earth are still standing. Jesus said before one jot or one tittle of his word would fail, both heaven and earth would pass away. And I guarantee you today we're here because God's word is eternal. So our strength, our covering, our blessing is in God. See, a buckler was a little bitty shield, and he wore it there for close combat. And I want you to understand, this is not distant combat. We're in close combat today, and we need God's covering. We need to keep praying, because we need God's strength in order to endure and have victory. In Psalm 31, verse 24, it says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All who hope in the Lord." We need to be courageous, because our hope is anchored in God. And God is worthy of our hope being anchored in him, first because of who he is. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He is the sovereign of all eternity. He has all power, and he promised us the power we need is in him. And all who look to God will receive strength from him. Listen to the question that the psalmist asked, and then I'm going to answer it. It said in Psalm 68, 28, "Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us." Let me tell you what he's done for us. Yeah, let me tell you what he's done for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. God sent his son into this world to die in our place. Then he raised him on the third day morning to complete the purchase of our salvation and ensure our eternal life. Jesus ascended back to the Father's right hand, where he is our advocate in heaven. He has prepared a place for you and me that we might spend eternity with him. Oh, it may get rougher down here before it's over. But I like the words of that old song when it said, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I dare not trust the Democratic Party. I dare not trust the Republican Party. I dare not trust the government, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." The name of Jesus is the name that's above all names. The name of Jesus is the name at which every knee is going to bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue is going to have to confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. Oh, yeah. See, we need to keep on praying, and praying to the one who has power to change things. Praying to the one who has power to make all things right, to make the crooked way straight, to make the valleys come up and be level ground. God can level the playing field where men and women will love one another as God has commanded in his word. Jesus came to start a love revolution. We He commanded that we love our enemies, that we do good to those who say all manner of evil against us falsely. He was started a revolution. Amen, of love. And in America, we still haven't got it right yet, because we ought to be loving one another, irregardless of the color of a person. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to open the doors of the church. If you don't like black people or people of color down here, and you call yourself a child of God, you ain't going to like that. But we're going to be all up in there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We gonna be all up in heaven, so you better change your ways, because you ain't gonna get there. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. We need to keep on praying. If you have never